evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm calling our second Council Town Hall meeting to order at 6 p.m. on September 27th. So 2 weeks ago, we had one, and I see some familiar faces that were able to join us at that last meeting, so thank you for coming back. We had a lot of discussion back and forth. Most of the evening was on what people liked.
I forgot to put my hearing aids in, so could you all speak a little bit louder?
Sorry, and I didn't have my mic on, so maybe that'll help.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So last time we were here, there was more seemed to be discussion centered around what people liked and what people didn't like. Certainly, everybody's opinions and thoughts are vital and important. I'm hoping that this evening it's more of an evening of education and clarification on the amendments. Instead of going backwards and sharing why we don't like them, we already know that they're going to be on the ballot, and they were done so in a lawful manner. So when the election comes in November, you as resident will have a choice to either vote for them or not, or some of them or not, however you choose to do, as you've collected your information and have your thoughts and concerns addressed over the next few weeks in our town hall meetings. I will open public portion in just a second, and when I do that, I will just ask you if you will state your name and your address for the record. And also, Vicki, will you just call the roll so we have it on the record who's here?
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz. Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
Thank you, Vicki. So I will open up the town hall meeting at 6:02 p.m.
Madam President?
Yes.
Didn't you want a brief intro?
Oh, that's right. Okay. So Vice President Pleshnik is going to provide a brief introduction for each of the 9 amendments, and then we can proceed from there. Thank you, John.
So once again, there are going to be 9 charter amendments on the ballot. As your handout shows, there are going to be issues 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, respectively. They should be the last issues, I believe, on your ballot in the city of Willoughby Hills. And I want to run through each of the issues or amendments really quickly so you have a sense of what we're discussing this evening. The first and second amendments, issues 7 and 8, provide that all department heads and all board and commission members, such as the Charter Review Commission, the Planning and Zoning Commission, would be appointed by the mayor and confirmed by council. That's already the case for most department heads. It would simply apply that procedure to the last two. And it's the case for some commission members, but not others. So these two amendments would give a consistent appointment by mayor, confirmation by council standard to all department heads and all city board and commission members. The third amendment, which is issue number 9, deals with the issue of nepotism. It prohibits nepotism, specifically the hiring of immediate family members by elected officials in the city. The definition of immediate family member was taken directly from the Ohio Ethics Commission, which of course includes spouse, children, siblings, etc. The fourth charter amendment deals with a uniform procedure for discipline and removal and accountability of public officials. It allows for removal of a public official or discipline or punishment thereof with a vote of 2/3 of council, which translates to 5 of 7 votes. I know that there's been some letters and statements made about a bare majority of council could remove people or the mayor. This doesn't single anyone out. It applies the exact same standard to all elected officials, all appointed officials, all employees, and it requires a supermajority 2/3 vote. It's very common. Our neighboring city of Wycliffe, many of our neighboring cities has this provision. I think it's more common than not. The fifth charter amendment deals with the annual budget. We currently have a charter provision that requires the mayor to submit our budget to council and the public 30 days before it's required to be adopted by state law. State law requires you to submit your city budget to the county by March 31st each year. So right now you have about a month to review the budget. guaranteed. This would guarantee 60 days, which would make sure that even if the mayor is submitting the budget as late as the law allows, it would allow for three council meetings and more consideration. So rather than 30 days, this increases the minimum time to 60. The sixth charter amendment deals with employment vacancies. And we've had several lawsuits against the city with the issue of the acting law director position. When our law director resigned, the city didn't have a law director. Council attempted to hire one. The mayor attempted to hire one, and a judge told the mayor, you can't hire an acting law director. Council, you can't hire an acting law director, which resulted in the uncomfortable position of no law director for the city for over a year. This provision would simply allow for the appointment of acting department heads and attorneys on behalf of the city so that we'll always be represented in court, and also with respect to important positions like fire chief or police chief, if somebody steps down and it takes time for council and the mayor to agree on who to appoint, this gives us a procedure to have a temporary acting department head whose term would end as soon as a permanent appointee takes it. The seventh charter amendment applies a standard requirement of signatures for all ballot issues, 25% of electors. There's been some debate as to what the standard currently is under the charter. This clearly states it is 25% of electors or registered voters. The eighth charter amendment deals with special elections. There are many provisions in our charter, too many to mention now, that require us to call a special election automatically so that you have to, as taxpayers, pay to put city issues on the ballot. And that's obviously expensive. If we wait until a primary or a general election, those are already being held by the county. We don't have to expend additional funds. And all this provision does is it says we're not going to automatically trigger a special election, but we can have a special election if the mayor and at least four members of council agree. So it doesn't stop us from doing them, but they don't happen automatically unless there's an agreement between the mayor and council to spend those tax dollars and hold the special election. And then lastly, the Ninth Amendment, which will appear as Issue 15 on your ballot, deals with the term in office for department heads. Think about the law director, the finance director. Currently in Willoughby Hills, a department head has an indefinite term. So once they're appointed, they're in office until they quit, until they're fired, or forever. A lot of cities have terms in office for department heads. Some set it for 2 years, some set it for 4 years. What this charter amendment does is it puts the same term for a department head, like the law director or the finance director, with the mayor. So there's essentially a four-year term, and when there's a new mayor or the mayor's reelected, that mayor would then reappoint if they choose to, and council would reconfirm that individual. What that ensures is that at least every 4 years, there's a vetting and reconsideration of the department heads. Just because you were doing a good job 20 years ago and you were a great choice 20 years ago doesn't mean you're still doing a good job today. And if you are still doing a good job, it's not a big deal to be reappointed and reconfirmed. But this gives more accountability. A lot of other cities have this provision. Actually, it was first cited to me by the council president in Highland Heights. And it would allow for more accountability. But those are the nine charter amendments, Madam President.
Thank you so much. Okay. With that, I will open public portion. So, members of... So I'm going to go to public portion right now.
Okay. I'd like to have an opposing view on the charter amendments, if you would grant me the time to...
I want to do public portion first.
Okay.
Thank you. So I would like members from the public to come forth and please state your name and address and share your thoughts and concerns. Frank?
What time?
At 6:09.
Frank Cejudo, Dixon Road. I decided to put my hand up real soon this time because I got missed last year.
I'm so sorry, Frank.
One or two amendments to our charter of great importance, such as correction of an error, might be submitted this way. But a massive change as the one proposed should only be done by a charter review commission. A charter review commission, a group of nine members appointed by the mayor and confirmed by council, provides the best way to make changes to our charter. Unfortunately, since the present council will not confirm any of the mayor's appointments, we can never have a charter review commission. But that's neither here nor there. I've been a member of two charter review commissions in the past, Plus, I voted on a charter amendment in 2015 that was accepted by the Charter Review Commission, even though I was not a member of the commission, and they put it on the ballot with an additional requirement and a limited term of office of 6 years. The state law that created the Records Commission, that's ORC Section 149, for all governmental bodies in the state, has no limit to the term of office of the citizen member. This new section, which is 5.8, was adopted by a fair majority. I've been a citizen of our member of our Records Commission since 1994. In conclusion, I'm a 69-year resident of Willoughby Hills, striving to make Willoughby Hills a better place to live for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Cecilia, would you like to come up?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
Oh, I think we can hear you. That's good.
Okay.
And your address, dear?
My name is Cecilia Passalacqua. I live at 2979 Sherbrooke Valley Court, Willoughby Hills. I have been there for 32 years, so consequently, I have seen many mayors and many city councils come and go. And I have some comments about the current charters that we have here. In the past, as Mr. Ciulli has indicated, every time there were changes to the charter, they were done by a charter review commission, which consisted of members of the city. And as they worked on the commission, they then had public forums, openings where the people of this community could give input as to what they were doing, what we wanted in those amendments, and what we did not want in those amendments. And then, after all of that occurred, whether or not to put it on the ballot, and then if it, of course, went on the ballot, then we voted for or against it. Now, I know that it is legal for the city council to arbitrarily decide to put charter amendments on the ballot on their own. However, to just a regular city citizen like myself, it feels a little bit subversive and underhanded. It doesn't make me feel good. So in general, the very first thing is I'm really not happy about charter amendments being put before people on the ballot in this manner. Now, the second thing that upset me about this charter amendment thing was Section 9.31, removal from office of the mayor by vote of council. Now, the mayor position is voted on by the citizens of this community, by American citizens. That is our one right that we have to speak up how we feel. Now, voting for the mayor is my privilege. It is not your privilege to take that vote away from me, because in effect you are negating what the Constitution of the United States gives me, the right to vote. So I oppose that form of removal of the mayor. If the mayor is doing such a bad job, whoever he is, then I think it's up to the people of this community to be aware of it, to do what we legally have the right to do, which is to petition to put on the ballot the removal of that mayor, and then to have someone else come in. So I personally do not like that because, in effect, you are taking away my right. And that is not something that goes over too well with me. The other thing that bothers me about these amendments is that everything that is mentioned, the approval of department heads, the approval of what the mayor does, the hiring, the firing, all of that, is approved or disapproved by this council by four members. Four members can say yes, four members can say no. Well, to me, that is not a democracy. That's a dictatorship. And I do not like that. I think that a city council has to learn to compromise and not be so set in what they are planning to do. So that's my opinion, that you take away my right to vote and you become a dictatorship by being the only group that can hire, fire, and so on and so forth. So my question to you is, who has the right to hire and fire you outside of the fact that we can vote for you, but can we also get rid of you if we want to by petition? Can we do that?
Yes, you can.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, then we should keep that. But we should also keep getting rid of the mayor if we want to by petition. So those are the nine amendments. I personally have decided I am not voting for any of them because I have questions really about a lot more of them, but I wanted to bring out the main things that bothered me tonight. And I personally am going to urge my fellow citizens that I know in this community, I'm not going to tell them how to vote, but I hope that everybody sits down and reads those nine amendments from beginning to end like I did the other night. The other thing that I would recommend is that everyone should get copies of what the current charter is now and compare what you're changing, what you're taking away, and what you're putting in. So that is my recommendation. That is the way I feel. I'm 86 years old. I have lived here for 32 years. I have watched a lot that has gone on. But this has really gotten to me. And because I'm older, I feel like I can say what I feel.
Right. Thank you.
Second. So, Cecilia, some residents have begun to get this document in the mail. Is this what you have?
Yeah.
This tells you what is current and what the change is.
I thought it was, but I happen to have the current chart, the whole thing.
So the sections that are looking to be amended, the actual area in this document shows you what is current in the charter,
yes.
And then next to it shows you what the amendment will look like.
That's very true, but I really think that it would be wise for people to read what their charter says. Too many people do not know even what a charter is. So I think we have to do, as a city, educate the people more.
Well, I certainly agree. Thank you so much. Gentlemen, want to come next?
I'm Bill Weber, living at 2983 Lynn Drive, which is across from the golf course on White Road. And let me preface what I'm going to talk here. I just got the notice of the changes in the charter yesterday, and then I got an additional feedback letter regarding some things today. But I tried to condense my thoughts, put them on one sheet of paper, and I have passouts for you if you would like them either before I start or after I'm done. I'm just going to read off of this. Do you have a preference?
You can bring them on after. Otherwise, okay. People will be reading them and will not be paying attention to you.
Okay. I don't like the changes being proposed for the city charter, and this is limited, not all of them, but because they amount to a takeover by one group of elected officials of another elected official. The changes clearly stem from the recent horn tangling that occurred with the hiring of a law director, but reducing the city mayor to a bootlicker for city council is not a solution for a future similar confrontation. What really bothers me is the unintended negative consequence. Who will want to run, or who will want to raise money to run a successful campaign for mayor in the future, merely to become a manipulated pawn of city council? With these proposed changes to the charter, I see mayoral candidates as unqualified dolts, content to hold office as an ego trip so they could be addressed Mr. Mayor. But I can also appreciate council's desire to be totally ultimately in charge, not only to avoid future conflicts between branches of government, but to avoid the distractions and expenses of the litigation that it causes. So what may be a more sensible fix? How about the elimination of a mayor-council form of government and replacing it with a city-manager-council government? Then council hires a professional manager to be in the operation of city business. Council is then the only elected part of the city government and controls who becomes, stays, or is removed without having to litigate in a court. And of course, city council then also takes the bows or the boos for how the government operates and can't play this one, you know. That's not on this sheet, I that last statement. I was once a resident over 40 years ago of Cleveland Heights, which had a city manager. Mentor has a city manager instead of a mayor. So, in view of the potential unintended negative consequences of putting these changes in our charter, I propose that City Council instead investigate the experiences of at least one or more city manager council governments. But while doing so, council must abandon the my way or the highway, or the not invented here mindset that may obstruct such clear determination. And in the meanwhile, I intend to vote no on the proposed changes, at least with respect to removing the mayor and that kind of thing, and urge my fellow residents to do likewise. One other thing should be mentioned. Without a mayor, there would be no more mayor's court. Council won't like that because most mayor's courts bring in revenue from mostly non-residents, so more services and prospects can be provided without taxing the residents. It sure looks like free money as a result. I'm not a fan of mayor's courts, and not alone in that. Free money really leads to generally unneeded undertakings and boondoggle projects, nor does it build character to charge non-residents to pay for resident services under the sham of safety when, in fact, it is all about the revenue. And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Bill.
Want a record, or if you want to...
Yes, please.
...throw the wrong file, you can please yourself.
Thanks, Mr. If you want, I'll just take them and pass them on down for you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
You won't learn much from this. You're teaching this stuff.
Yeah, Madam President, I will share that Cleveland Heights actually recently called a Charter Review Commission to explore whether they might go from having a city manager, which they still do, to mayor, and they asked for citizen comments. And the discussion and the comments that they got back in writing actually was to cite to all the lawsuits against Willoughby Hills, and unanimously they said it's too expensive to have a mayor. It's a full employment act for lawyers, but the taxpayers end up paying for it. So they decided to stick with city manager after they saw the lawsuits by the mayor against Willoughby Hills.
Good for them.
Madam President, might I make a quick remark? I just wanted to point out, and this may be stating the obvious, that there are 9 separate amendments here. They're not all in a bulk thing to be voted on. So as you consider and as you read and as you think about these things, just keep in mind that you may want to vote for one affirmatively. You may want to vote for another one negatively. But just keep in mind, it's not one big bundle that needs to be decided yes or no. So keep that in mind as you're considering each one separately. Thanks.
Madam President.
This gentleman.
Madam President, will you give me an opportunity to speak tonight?
I will, later.
My name is Cal Tabernick, 2893 Rockefeller Road. And I don't know if I can do this. I really did a very nice job in explaining the amendments, okay? I would like to hear the other side. I don't know if I can say... I would like to hear Mr. Fiebig talk. Can I do that now?
Sure. So I just want to say that Mr. Fiebig's negative comments in the last meeting, he was pretty adamant about not supporting these, even though he and I had a conversation prior to that, which he said at the last meeting he had no knowledge of. And I brought forth a couple of the thoughts that were coming through for amendments, and he actually said he agreed with them, but he disagreed with the process being a little too fast. So I've been a little surprised that the information that's coming out now is actually a little opposite than what he started with. Mr. Fiebig?
Madam President, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I think what you're referring to was you had a conversation with me over the phone where you gave an overall arching review with no details, and I said, well, sure, nepotism is not a good thing. Changing from 30 days to 60 days, yeah, that sounds like, you know, relatively obtuse. It's not a big deal. But I said, I'd have to read it. I'd have to see what we're talking about. And then went into the process. And the process is important, as one of our residents and several others have already expressed to me. And this is important because the city manager idea is a good idea for a community that's much larger, but it's a concept that needs to be discussed out in public, and it needs to be thoroughly vetted with a room full of people this size, and we need to talk about if we're going to change our city government, if we're going to shift the balance of power to the council, well, we should have a very thorough review and a very thorough conversation about this. So the fact that I and others were left out of this process, and the fact that Mr. Plechnik has said that he alone wrote these, but then has also said that, well, he had input from other people, yet we don't know who those other people were, and there's been no public meeting of those. So we were not engaged in the process to do this. So this is where I have a problem, and I think we all should take pause on that. We should have an open, transparent process for city government. This is why I got involved in government to begin with. I thought, if I can do anything, it'd be to make government work well. And this type of process is not what I consider to be working well. You can't have five people steer a ship. This gives the opportunity for four people on a council to actually remove a mayor. I think
Madam President, Councilman
Phoebe, so you're going to start to take things out of context, and I don't think that that's fair to the public when they're here to be educated. We have provisions in today's charter to remove a mayor and to remove a council member. That's not, we're not adding that. The provision is already there.
I thought I had the floor, but I've been interrupted a few times. You're not being very positive.
And please read your last two sentences of the literature that you sent to the residents that you said you wanted to move over positively.
Because I disagree with this process.
Well, you've told us that over and over, Dave.
Madam President,
listen, even here.
Madam President, we've talked about this ad nauseum.
I'm getting talked over, and I'm not given an opportunity. That's why I wrote a letter to the community. If anybody wants to talk with me about it, I'd be glad
Madam
to have
President,
a personal conversation.
Madam President, I do have a point I need to share.
Wait, just one second, please. One second, please.
One person at a time.
Yes, and I'm the president, and I have the authority to facilitate the meeting. When I started, I have the authority.
I have the authority.
Gave me the floor.
I asked in the beginning of this meeting to provide a venue for education and clarity. We did this 2 weeks ago. We can beat dead horses as long as we want. I don't like this. I like that. What are we learning from this? How do we move our city forward? Mr. Phoebig sent out a form. Everything that he said 2 weeks ago, everything that he's putting on social media. And, Dave, read the last sentence. You say you want to move forward positively. How are you doing that? You're not even talking about the issues. You're taking things out of context. We can remove a mayor. We can remove council. It's already in the charter. And to Cecilia's point, yes, you have a vote. There are 9,000 and some residents in this city. We were all voted on. They voted for us. Well, you may not have voted for me, but people do vote for us.
No, ma'am. There are two. These two are appointed.
Was appointed by council. The mayor was appointed by council.
Well, now, wait a minute. There is a process when an elected official leaves, just like there is in almost any other thing. And then when that term is up, they have to rerun, and then it determines that the voters can put them in or not. What I'm saying is, though, that the other was we were voted on. So people voted on us to have confidence in us to help with the city.
Madam President, the reason I tried to interject is because, while I certainly respect Mr. Phoebig's right to share his point of view, I think at a meeting like this, it's important that everything we state is accurate. And I received a copy of Mr. Phoebig's letter. He restated a point from his letter today that the charter amendments would allow, and let me quote, four council members may remove the elected mayor on a whim and without due process. That's absolutely inaccurate. If you read the charter amendment, and this would be your fourth charter amendment in your packet, it clearly states that five members of council or a two-thirds supermajority could remove any elected official or employee. There's nothing in the charter amendments that would allow a bare majority or four members of council to remove anyone, not the mayor, not the janitor. And you may agree or disagree with allowing council members any authority, but I think it's important that we accurately state what the charter amendments say. And Mr. Phoebig also also addressed me personally, saying that I'm the sole person who wrote the charter amendments. We've already had discussion. I'm not. And I frankly am disappointed that Mr. Fiebig would say in his letter that he was deliberately excluded from meetings. I certainly saw no evidence of that. I certainly didn't deliberately exclude anyone. But I am disappointed that he would miss such important meetings. And frankly, his job and career is a heck of a lot more flexible than most of the people on this council. I would say it's time for you to step up your dedication and be there on an issue that you're that concerned with. Wow.
Madam Chair,
Councilwoman Pismo has not had an opportunity.
It's important, though.
Councilwoman Pismo has the floor, please.
Excuse me. The point of this meeting was to say, what do these charter amendments do? And then our voters can decide, yes, I like this, no, I don't. So our voters have a voice in this. That's the whole point, so we know what we're voting on. Not about what one council person thinks and what another council person thinks or what someone told you or what someone else, you know. So it's about what these actually do, okay? And so when we're talking about removal of a mayor, it's not about removal at the whim of a dictator-like council. It's not like that at all. In fact, you can only remove a sitting council person or a mayor for gross misconduct, like misfeasance, malfeasance, nonfeasance in office. That's a high, high hurdle to get over. We can't just say, I don't like the mayor, let's get rid of him. Right. Just like when a citizen does a recall petition, you can't just get rid of a council person or a mayor you don't like.
But what's
you
the have to have definition of gross misconduct?
Excuse me, Dave.
You decide.
Dave. Excuse me. No. Excuse me.
This will be the first time, Dave, that you have not asked for the floor.
No. So. No. Let me finish, please. Let me just finish. Okay.
You'll have a turn.
It's not at the whim. Okay. I have no interest in just getting rid of people I don't like or anything like that. I don't have no interest in putting something on the ballot that is going to hurt our city. I have no interest in that whatsoever. I'm a person. I'm a resident. I'm raising my family here. I took an oath of office to this city. I care greatly about it. It's a place I want to raise my children until they grow up and move on. Okay? This means something to me. This is very important. And I would never, ever do something to hurt the city, hurt our residents, hurt my own family. Okay? So, but I want to get back to the Fourth Amendment that we're so upset about, that it's about removing the mayor by, you know, because someone doesn't like him or because he's a political opponent. Now, we need to think about these things in terms of the offices. So there's the mayor, and there are seven council offices, right? So there are seven council members, and there's one mayor office in our city. Now, how do we feel depending on who's in those offices? If there's someone we don't like in the mayor's chair, do we feel differently about being able to hold the mayor accountable? Or is it only because we happen to like the mayor now and not like council? Or what if we love council and hate the mayor? I mean, how do we? It has to be right no matter who's in those offices. That's how we need to think about this. There needs to be a balance, a healthy balance of power. And now, one more thing, and I'm sorry to take up a little bit of time here, but this is in line with so many other cities. You know, I talked about this last time, but, you know, at Wycliffe, the council, it says in their charter, in section 4.3, the council may remove the mayor for gross misconduct or malfeasance, misfeasance, or nonfeasance in, or disqualification for office, or for the conviction while in office of a crime, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Highland Heights, the council may remove the mayor for gross misconduct or malfeasance, misfeasance, or nonfeasance in a disqualification for office, and so on, okay? Eastlake, I mean, I could go on and on and on. All these cities have the exact same thing. So it's a normal thing, and it's something we already have in our charter, but it's murky. But like a lot of things in our charter are. Like right now, part of our charter says that council confirms department heads, but if you go to the parts of the charter that talk specifically about certain department heads, it just says the mayor shall appoint. And so that's why there was this issue earlier on, I guess a year ago, with the acting law director and this and that, because the mayor said, well, this part says that I do it. And this part, and then this other part says that council has a role. So there was, so that's inconsistent in our charter. And part of this whole process is just making it consistent. So that's one and two of these amendments. As part of that is making it consistent in our charter. So it's not just about council, you know, exerting more power or trying to take more power. It's really not about that. It's about a healthy balance of power so that we can hold each other accountable and make sure that we're cooperating
collaborating and working together for the betterment of the city. All these other cities, okay, Wycliffe, Highland Heights, Eastlake, Kirtland Hills, Mayfield Village, Richmond Heights, Waite Hill, Seven Hills, Chagrin Falls, Fairview Park, Gates Mills, they all have these types of balance of powers. So they're not going through what we're going through. So I think that they're doing something that we're not doing, and I think that this can help us get to that point where we're having a healthier balance of power in our city and holding each other accountable and having our both branches work better together.
Okay. Vicki.
Yes, thank you very much. I was just trying to draw the attention back to the public portion, which was what we were called into and not answering our questions. Thank you very much to the President of Council for recognizing that. I appreciate the residents that came prepared to speak tonight. And I was kind of disappointed that, you know, you are kind of showing that you, speaking to these amendments, that you're on united front and not willing at the get-go to allow the opposition to also make some points prior to getting started so people knew how to ask their questions. I'm going to refer back to a question that Cecilia had about the removal of council. Just so you know, the amendments 13 and 14 is going to make it more difficult for the public to remove members of city council by making it a higher percentage of signatures needed on petitions and then making it more difficult to be able to get a special election passed beyond council. It's going to be, based on the amendments, easier to remove the mayor, not by vote of public, and then harder to remove council. So just thank you again, and please, as we continue, let's listen to the residents speak.
Thank you, Vicki. So I apologize for not letting the opposition speak, but I was trying to find a venue where we would be moving forward more positively because I feared when the opposition, not that the opposition is bad, but I feared what was going to happen and it would become more challenging to handle a meeting. So thank you. I appreciate your comment. Cecilia, you had another comment there you wanted to say. Did you have something else you wanted to say? Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to say that when I said that you're taking my vote away when you take my vote away for the mayor, that also applies to council because these are the elected officials that I voted for. Now, the department heads and so on, I have nothing to say about that because I didn't vote for them. So how you people handle that's up to you. But I definitely feel very strongly, and if it is also in the current charter that you can be removed like that, then I oppose that. You're taking away my vote is what I am saying to you. It's a public vote. I voted. It's my one right that I have as a citizen. And the only way we should be able to remove the mayor and any of you is by petition of the people that did the voting in the first place. And that is what I am referring to. And I certainly hope that you are not referring to me as the opposition, because I am not connected with anything. I am just me. I read this stuff at home. I didn't like it, and I decided after all these years living in this community to come and say something about it.
And we appreciate that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mr. Fellows?
Dale Fellows, 2812 Fowler Drive. So many of you know me that I'm a pretty much a student of government. I work in multi-counties throughout the area with government officials and study it here and there. And regarding our particular charter, I was the Charter Review Commission chairman in 2008 when then-Mayor Wager came to our first meeting and asked that we add in confirmation by council of department heads and add into the charter removal by a supermajority of council. So this was Mayor Wager's original idea and thought process, and we did. And the people voted for it. and it approved. And what you're doing now is just consistently making it throughout the rest. When we talk about the sign numbers changing, I heard Vicki say that. That sign number isn't changing at all as far as signature changes. No, it's not. It's not changing at all. If you read the charter, because we actually went through the charter in fine-tooth comb in 2008, and that is exactly the way it's been written. It's exactly the way it's been interpreted for many, many years. When we talk about U.S. Constitution, and to Cecilia's point about not taking away your vote, there is a process in the U.S. Constitution to remove the president without the people's vote. It's called impeachment, and folks are doing it. So the U.S. Constitution already provides that. The U.S. Constitution also has seven articles. Article 1 is the legislative body. It's Article 1 for a reason, because the founders always believed that the legislative body was number one, the executive body number two. And that's where you get into the dictatorships. Dictatorships happen when you have a very strong, in this case, mayoral form of government, which is what we have. We've always had that. It's been that way. And it may be the reason why, as a student of government, we in this city, every single decade, for the last 4 to 5 decades, no, doesn't matter who the mayor is, who the council is, they've had issues. And when people from around the area, Northeast Ohio, ask me, Dale, what the heck goes on in Willoughby Hills? Every single decade, you have different changes, different things, and you still have problems. Well, the common denominator is a charter that gives too much authority and too much power into one person's hands. And what you're doing is, by these, and that's why I would support them, is big, you're balancing the power so you have checks and balances like you have in the U.S. Constitution, in the state constitution, and in all bodies of government. You don't put too much power into one person's hands. You balance it out. You have checks and balance, and there's accountability on all areas. And Dave, to your points about the discussions, some of these points we've talked about, you and I have personally talked about proposing amendments at some point in time for these very issues. On nepotism, you were the guy that was the first person out there about what happened a few years ago with Lanco and somebody else, one of the members of council. You've been the champion against, at least in words, maybe not deeds, but certainly in words, against nepotism. How you didn't like the Charter Review Commission's last ruling or amendment. You didn't vote for it. You didn't support it. The one that watered it down to what it is now. The finance.
What I
the
don't finance like, Dale, thing is too, the punishment. The word is, punishment in there. How do you?
The finance thing too is you're always the guy in the fall saying, asking Mr. Berkachek, when are we going to get the budget? When are we going to get the budget? Right. Well, now you'd like to get at least 60 days before. So those are my comments. And I obviously support these changes because I believe, as a student of government and a student of what's happened here and living here for so many years that I have, that the charter needs to get a true balance between the legislative body and the mayor body. And this isn't about this current council or this current mayor. This is about what happens in the future. This is about balancing it out for the future of the city.
Thank you,
Madam President. I don't disagree with that, but it was the process. If this is the method that we're going to go about, then there should be a long discussion about it, and we'd have that calm debate about it. It shouldn't be sprung on us in one meeting while I'm taking my son down to college for the first time ever, and a meeting that's called in 3 days and then passed with no public input.
Hi, Jenna.
Hi. I'm Jenna Bing, and 36951 Beach Hills Drive. And I really want to talk, but I want to tell you, I am tired of hearing about the process we got here. It was a legal process to get here. It wasn't what's the process that's been done for charter amendments in the past, but it's not illegal. And these discussions right now are the discussions that need to be held and brought forward so that we can learn from each other what are the positives and negatives of these to make a clear decision. I was here for the last charter amendments, and all I know was there was one meeting that was over there. Maybe I didn't know about it. There was one meeting that was over there, and they were presented. And they were explained, and I'm not sure what's different about this. Now, I'm quite pleased that there is a group of people that are going to have another kind of meeting besides these at a different timing so that somebody might be able to go to those, and theoretically you'll hear a different point of view. Great. This is what we should be doing now. Continuing to talk about we did it the wrong process is just stupid. And it's like chewing at the pie crust around there instead of getting to the meat of what we're trying to do here in this community. And I think it's just a waste of everyone's time. I'm sorry that people were not available. That happens in the world. It happens. Get over it.
Thanks, Jenna. We have a few more minutes, Doris, and then we'll need to adjourn so council can start at 7, and then in 2 weeks, or the second Thursday in October will be the next town hall meeting at 6 o'clock. Doris.
Hi, Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. I'm the kind of person that will vote no on anything when it comes to me until I can actually get down to read it. But my first inclination when I vote, I want to vote no on everything. But now I have read these things over. I have heard Laura Pismo's explanations of all these other communities. We are going to be falling in line with these communities. We want to prevent some things that have happened in the past, which has been very unsavory in this community. So I've read this stuff over, and as far as removal from office for anyone or anyone's job, like say, for instance, what if a secretary shoves another secretary to the ground. Is that okay, or should that offending secretary be removed? Does this take a vote from council? I would say that would be a good thing to do. You can go back into the United States history. What about Bill Clinton? Yes, he was impeached from office. Whether or not I voted for him, I thought he should have been removed for lying to a federal grand jury. He was impeached. We can do this. We have had some things happen in Willoughby Hills with lawsuits against our city. It cost us money as taxpayers. We've had, my pet peeve was the Grange. You know, to use this facility when none of us as taxpayers could use it, but we had to support it, yet only the mayor's friends could use it, and even a guy ran a business out of it. What money did Willoughby Hills get? This stuff has to be looked into. This is something council has to do. And I figure this is a balance of power. It's checks and balances. Not one can be so overpowering that they can overlook ethics. In this community, we should not have to legislate ethics, but obviously we do.
Thank you, Doris. Anyone else this evening?
Hi, Margaret Sunday, 2805 Fowler Drive. I just have a historical question because that's my deal. Why was a charter review commission not used?
Madam Chair, there are three ways that charter amendments can go on the ballot, and we've discussed this quite a bit.
Okay.
So one of the ways is for the people to get something on the ballot, a charter amendment on the ballot, or charter amendments on the ballot, and that's through a petition drive.
Okay.
So people can put them on through a petition drive. Then the mayor can put charter amendments on the ballot through a charter review commission.
Okay.
So the mayor appoints a charter review commission, and that's what has been done in the recent past anyway. And then the last way is for council to put amendments on the ballot, and they need a supermajority of support. And once there's a supermajority for support for the amendments to go on the ballot, then that they just go on the ballot, and it's up to the people to decide whether to adopt them or not. So that's how.
Okay. So you decided it was needed right away.
Yes.
Rather than go through the process.
And speaking for myself, it was because of the recent developments in our city with all the lawsuits and the discord between the mayor and council, and just trying to find a happy balance so that we can make sure we can work together and hold each other accountable.
Okay. So the whole council mayor situation precipitated it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. And now I can really put the face to my emails, because we've been emailing back and forth. And I think I've only been to the house maybe once or twice over the years. So thank you. Let's see. It is 6:54. Council starts at 7. I'd like to let council get a break, or anybody else that's going to stay, and then for our other officials to come forward. So I'll adjourn this meeting, but the next one will be October 11th, which will be the second Thursday. It'll be at 6 p.m. here before the council meeting. So I thank all of you for being here, and I appreciate your thoughts and your concerns, and I appreciate that you let me work through the challenges of the meeting as well. Thank you very much.